It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. As the climate continues to change, ongoing research considers how the Mountain State will have to adapt. We'll hear from researchers looking closely at the matter this morning.
From the perspective of flooding, we're seeing increased moisture in our soils, and that compounded with our steep slopes and fairly unstable hill slopes, we're expecting to see a greater impact to our infrastructure that humanity relies on.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Earlier this month, the United Nations released a report that warns climate change is threatening the world's food supply. The agency found 500 million people already live in places where water is growing scarce. Extreme weather events tied to climate change, such as floods and droughts, will further disrupt global food systems. New research from West Virginia University finds more extreme weather and warmer temperatures are also expected in West Virginia by the end of this century. Reporter Brittany Patterson sat down with WVU Associate Professor Nicholas Zegra to talk about how climate change is projected to affect the Mountain State.
Hotter, wetter, and drier. This is what the future climate could look like in West Virginia, according to new research by WVU professor and director of the Mountain Hydrology Lab, Nicholas Zegg. Zegg and his colleagues used a robust data set and 17 climate models to map how the climate of the 11-state Appalachian region could change by 2100. In West Virginia, the study found temperatures could be up to 10 degrees warmer if action isn't taken to curb greenhouse gas emissions. That would mean more frequent droughts. The research also found it would be wetter, although that won't be true across the entire region.
The northern extent of the Appalachian region, which constitutes 420 counties across 11 states, is generally projected to increase. And in the southern extent of the Appalachian region, it's projected to decrease.
Zegg says while it sounds paradoxical that West Virginia could be hotter, wetter, and drier, it's not.
This is in line with the frame of thinking, which is called intensification of the water cycle.
The water cycle is basically the dance between water evaporating from land into the atmosphere, where it cools and condenses into rain or snow in clouds, and falls again to the surface as precipitation. Zegg says a warming climate will change that cycle in Appalachia.
So when we have a warming atmosphere, the atmosphere expands so it can hold more moisture in the air. So over long periods of time, what we're seeing is most critically an increase in the variability of our precipitation and hence our water resources. So the more extreme events are getting more extreme with precipitation that leads to flooding and to landslides. But critically, greater evaporation that during the summer months, for example, when society relies on water for air conditioning and electricity, we're seeing exacerbation of evaporation during that time, which is leading to droughts. So it does seem paradoxical, but the important point is to recognize that the water system that we rely on and that humanity has relied on for the better part of a century is changing, and that increased variability makes it harder to manage for the extremes, but also to provide a reliable source of water as the basis of our economy.
If climate change is projected to change our water cycle and make extreme weather events more frequent and intense, I asked Zegg what this might mean for people living in West Virginia in the coming decades.
So here in West Virginia and Appalachia, where we already have fairly extreme weather events, we have very complex, steep topography, and we have a large number of our population living in the floodplains. Critically, what that means is the likelihood for more frequent and intense floods. Floods not only disrupt day-to-day life for communities, but it also disrupts the economy. It's hard to run businesses and schools and the government and the economy when we're inundated with floodwater. But also, from the perspective of flooding, we're seeing increased moisture in our soils, and that compounded with our steep slopes and fairly unstable hill slopes, we're expecting to see a greater impact to our infrastructure that humanity relies on. So recently in Morgantown, we've heard a lot about recent road repaving projects in the area and the cost that is to taxpayers, one thing that was absent from that story is the role that climate change is going to impose on increasing the vulnerability of our roads and our bridges and our water treatment facilities to handle additional water.
How do you hope your research can help future policymakers or current policymakers? How do you think the research can be used?
We believe that besides its people, West Virginia's greatest resource is actually its water. And in a time of unprecedented change, where a large portion of the country is becoming warmer and drier, here in the Appalachian region is we're largely becoming warmer and wetter. So besides using this information to reduce the vulnerability of people throughout West Virginia and the Appalachian region, we're interested in using this information and helping decision makers use this information to reshape a future economy in West Virginia that prioritizes water, the use of our water. We're very positive about the opportunities that West Virginia can embrace, but in order for that to occur, climate change has to be part of our public discourse.
That was reporter Brittany Patterson speaking with WVU Associate Professor Nicholas Zegg about his new peer-reviewed research that forecasts how climate change will impact Appalachia. The study was published in the Journal of Applied Meteorology and Climatology and funded by a grant from the National Science Foundation. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Mostly cloudy skies today, some rain through early afternoon, highs in the 70s and low 80s. A chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, chance of rain and thunderstorms early with partial clearing in the afternoon, highs in the 70s and low 80s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Land Trust, celebrating 25 years of conservation. Details at wvlandtrust.org. Christy Smith's debut novel, Killed It, is a thriller with a twist. The main character, Allie, is in trouble after going on a vigilante spree. Now, a blackmailer is trying to make her pay up. Smith, who writes under the pen name Lulu Smith, is a full-time lawyer and talks about the balance between the law and writing fiction in this interview with Eric Douglas.
So tell me about the book. Tell me about Killed It.
Killed It is a thriller and kind of like a dark comedy. It's about a young failed female comedian in New York who is living with her very rich boyfriend and working at his father's law firm, prestigious law firm, but as a paralegal. But she's not good at it and she doesn't like it and she doesn't really work very hard. So she kind of has a really bad day of first world problems and ends up in an altercation in the park and accidentally kills a man and then goes on a bit of a vigilante spree. Someone finds out, blackmails her, and then she has to try to get herself out of a lot of trouble.
Who is going to want to read Killed It?
Well, it's odd because I thought it would, because it's a female narrator and she's young, she's a millennial and she's foul-mouthed. And I was thinking it would be mostly a female audience, but I have had a strange reaction from men over 50 really love this book. And I've had several beta readers that are like, you know, it took me a couple pages because I'm like, am I going to like this book? It's a female character. And then they're like, and then I just fell in love with her and I loved her. And I had this 70-year-old guy at the gym who said he wanted to read it. And I'm like, there's some language and some sex in this book that you might not be comfortable with. He's like, oh, I want to read it. And then he's surprised. He's like, I love this book. I'm like, really? But also young people like the book. But I have been surprised that it has been well received by men.
Are we full anti-hero or is she?
She's not full anti-hero. She dials it back. I mean, okay. She just let some rage out.
So is there another book?
Yes.
Is there another Allie book?
Yes. Okay. I am in the outlining stage. I'm kind of an anal retentive outliner just because of my background as a legal writer, because I'm the geek that writes the legal briefs, and I've gone back to the law now. And so I had this book all outlined because I knew what had to happen and what clues had to be dropped and what had to be, you know, what had to show up when. And there was one thing that I had to keep track of and make sure where it was in all scenes, whether it could be in a scene or whether it couldn't be in a scene. And so I had little note cards. And so I'm in the process. Allie's been talking to me again lately. It's been about a year since she talked to me, because work of the case that I'm working on, I work in the opioid. On the opioid litigation, representing plaintiffs at the counties and cities.
Okay.
And so my world got completely shot up with work, but now she's talking to me again. And it's hard, I think, and as you would know from writing, I've had such good reception to Killed It. I mean, and everybody was like, oh, you tied everything up and all these clues were dropped so early and da-da-da, and everything tied made sense once I got to the end. And so now the pressure's on for the second one to make sure you write it as good, it's as funny, it's as tidy. And so we were like, oh, well, crap, can I do this another second time? I mean, I have the idea. I know what trouble she gets in. I'm not sure how she gets out of it yet, mm-hmm. but that'll come to me. But... it's the pressure, especially in a sequel, to like people kind of expect the same pattern, the same hit, beats, the same kind of character development or, interchanges. And so that's stressful.
You can't reinvent Allie.
No.
She has to be consistent. She can,
right.
She can evolve,
right.
But she has to be consistent,
right.
To who she was.
Right. You know, and contrary to my mom's request, she will still be saying the F word.
Well, all right. Sorry, Mom.
Yeah. She's like, can't she not say that word? I'm like, well, she's a millennial. So, no. She's like, can't she say darn? I'm like, absolutely. Do you want her to say, oh, shucks? I mean, Mom, I'm sorry, but you're not the target audience.
But this is your first book? Have
yes.
you been a writer?
I have been a writer since probably like high school, at least trying to be a writer. And I was a journalism major for a while. And then when I was studying for the bar exam, I wrote a screenplay. And I entered it into... While I was supposed to be studying for the bar exam, because I didn't really want to be a lawyer. And so I really wasn't... I was kind of crossing my fingers. Maybe I'd fail the bar exam and then I could just say, oh, well, I gave it a try. But unfortunately, I passed and the legal world kind of took over my life. So I would start a book, get sucked away on work, start another book. Seemed like about the 40 to 50 page area was right, right when it gets hard. This is the first one that I just was impassioned by because the character would not stop talking to me in my head.
So what was different about this? How were you able to finish this one? Or what did you do differently?
Well, I quit my job.
Oh, well, well, that'll do it.
I was burned out from working. I've been an attorney for 18 years, and I was on the defense side for a couple of years, which was not my calling, and it wasn't working for me, and I was the last person out of the office every night at 10:30, locking up the office, and it was killing me. I would actually go to my friend Sheila's house and drink wine and go, I can't do this any longer. And in the meantime, I had been to New York on a trip, and that's when the book is set in New York, and so the character started talking to me and telling me her story.
So you're switching to a kind of a weekends-only schedule now.
Yes.
How do you think that's going to fit into your...
It's going to take longer. It's going to...
it's harder to keep a flow, though.
It's harder to keep a flow. I might try to see if I can, get, 500 words in the morning or something, or just, keep in touch with the character. But it's going to be different. It's going to, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I did write the screenplay when I was supposed to be staying for the bar exam. So I tend to, I've got a lot of motions due this summer. So why not write a book?
That was Christy Smith talking about her debut novel, Killed It, with our in-house author, Eric Douglas. This interview is part of a series of discussions with authors from the region. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.